Glad that he didn't throw you away. I think of plenty of times when he could have threw me away. Same testimony, Robert. Saved at a young age, then ran with the wrong crowd, then back and forth. Something about it all that time, though, that I was kind of strayed. I got up on Sunday morning and went to church. That was what I was supposed to do, is go to church on Sunday morning, even though Saturday night was, we won't go there, that's past. But I'm glad that he didn't throw me away. You know, you have some of those kinds of weeks sometimes, or even some of those kind of days where it seems like bad news just trickles in. And it seems like it kind of groups up and comes at the same time. This lady that I work with, she was facing that the other day, and she was almost frantic because she had just dealt with her mom being in the hospital and having surgery, and then she heard a friend of hers had some form of cancer, and then another coworker that works there with us had another form of cancer, and it's just like bing, bing, bing that day. And like I said, she was almost frantic, but I knew that she was a Christian. And I said, you know what? You need to give this to Jesus. Because when we have too many things like that, well, even one thing like that, we need to give it to Jesus. But if we start letting our burdens pile up on us like that, it's going to get to where you can't handle it. And you better give it to Jesus. Because like that song that we sang earlier, he did not mean for us to bear those burdens alone, right? He didn't mean for us to do that. He didn't wire us that way. And so give it to Jesus. Amen? And so my message this morning is when you need help. When you need help. The lives that most of us live are quite busy, aren't they? Constantly going here and there and doing this or that. And sometimes we're so enthralled with our lives that we forget to pay attention to something that's about to come and disrupt our lives. We get blindsided by something that we didn't expect at all. And suddenly our lives are changed as a result. We find ourselves in need of help, and we can't seem to find it. Nothing or no one around us seems to be any help. It's always a joy, however, to have caring Christians that love us and will pray for us and assist us where they can. But where can we get the help that we really need? And that's the question that the psalmist is asking in Psalm chapter 121. So we're just going to look at these verses kind of as I go along. First off, where can we find help? The question of where we can find help when we really need it has some options that are in this short chapter, you might say. Options are different ways we can attempt to find help. We can learn these options in the psalm that we're studying this morning. The psalmist, he's traveling up the road to Jerusalem. It involves walking through a hilly countryside. Now, it wasn't exactly like you and I think about a walk out in the country. Usually we can go out in the country and walk and just enjoy nature and don't have to worry about too much. But that walk up to Jerusalem was quite a different thing. It could even be dangerous. Now, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan and how he came up on the man who had been robbed and beaten. He was on the road to Jerusalem. He was on that road. And so the psalmist, knowing that danger could lurk ahead, he asked the question, where does my help come from? Well, in verse 1, we can look around for help. Verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? Lots of things in the Bible happened on a hill or a mountaintop, didn't it? Moses and the Ten Commandments. He got that on a mountaintop. Jesus, a Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapters 5 through 7, that where he instructs his followers about how we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to do. He gave that on a hillside. Jerusalem was on a hill. That's where the temple was located, the dwelling place of God. The Israelite would look up to the hills where they believed God to be when they needed help. But mountains can also be a source of fear as well as faith. As we, wild animals, other creatures, thieves and robbers that the Israelites would encounter on their way up to Jerusalem to worship God. Hills can be a source of faith as well as fear, insight, or intimidation. An Israelite would look up to the hills, but there was no promise of help from the hills. A second option the Israelite had, he could look within for help. As the psalmist again considers that there could be danger on this journey, he may just look to himself for help. Figure it out himself. That's what we do a lot of times, isn't it? Well, let us try to figure it out. If I can't get help from anything or anyone around me, I'll just do it myself. Figure it out. But again, looking at himself, within himself, he falls short. So with no help around and nothing he can come up with from within himself, then who? Well, verse 2 says, "My help comes from the Lord." Amen. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where it really comes from. Stands to reason, doesn't it, if you think about it? God made heaven and earth. God made me. Then my help should come from the one who made me, right? He knows. So when we come to the realization that we need help from God, we must remember that the one that we pray to, the same God that we pray to, is the same God that made heaven and earth. Where else can we go to find help? We go to the man, don't we? We go to the man. No doubt, he can help us. Where can we find help? Not the hills. Not within ourselves, but from God. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that God can help us? Well, He's promised. First, He promised He'd always be there for us. Going on farther in the psalm, in verse 3, He said, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." You know, one of the least appreciated but amazing facts about God? He doesn't go to sleep. You see, sometimes we try to compare God to the way we are, right? We have to have sleep. I could use a nap right now, honestly. If you don't know, I've been through surgery a couple weeks ago and I'm still not quite there. And so the prospect of a nap sounds pretty good right now. But we have to have rest, don't we? You try going a few days without sleep and see how you feel. We've probably all been there before, haven't we? Well, the younger ones haven't. They sleep like logs every night, probably. But God doesn't need sleep. It says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is aware of you every moment. He knows your every need. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Also, God is there to protect us, we notice in the psalm. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." The language here is reminiscent of a shepherd watching over the flocks and protecting them from all harm. I'm glad to know that as His child, my God is watching me day and night, even when I'm sleeping and I don't know what's going on, God is watching me. When I'm going through my day, not knowing what's going to happen the next 30 minutes or the next hour or that afternoon, God is watching me. You know why He's watching me? Because I committed myself to Jesus years ago. I committed my heart to Jesus. You see, when you get saved, that's a commitment. I made a commitment to Christ to follow Him. I made a commitment to Christ to do my very best humanly possible to follow Him. Therefore, I know that when I'm not looking, He's looking, right? And He's watching over me. He's our shade at our right hand, it says there, which means He's always available. He's like a shadow, always following us around. He's our keeper and our protector. Day and night, He watches over us. Well, He's also there to preserve us. Verse 7 says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." How does God keep us from evil? How does God keep us from evil when it seems that the world is as evil as it ever has been? How does God keep us? Well, as you well know, we're not shielded from being affected by evil, are we? But we can't help it. We're just go out in the world, we're going to be affected by this evil world. But those who belong to God will only be affected, now listen to this, will only be affected by what our God allows to come through His filter. You ever thought about that? Well, that's what the Scripture means when it says God will protect you or preserve you or keep you from evil. His hand is over you. His hand is over me. And so, now sometimes God will allow evil things to come through this filter into your life to be used for His purposes. After all, sometimes being exposed to some evil things makes us stop and size up what's going on with ourselves, right? But God's not going to allow evil to come into the life of His children unless it first passes by Him. I'm glad to know that this morning. That's how God preserves me from evil. You have a God filter protecting and preserving you. And you don't have to change it when it gets dirty. It's always clean. It's always there. Glory to God, right? He's always there for us. He's there to protect and preserve us. And God is here and there watching us. He's watching us. Verse 8 said, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." One commentator said about this verse, he says it gives us the idea of coming into church or opening up our Bibles and getting wisdom, and then we go out into the world to tell people about Jesus, right? You know, sometimes we wonder why our churches all over the country are getting smaller. And we wonder why we don't see people baptized like we used to. And we don't understand why there's still so many empty seats in the church. Well, number one, God's people are not getting the wisdom and the fuel to carry them by coming to church regularly and by getting into the Word. And secondly, they're not telling anybody about Jesus. We're not telling people about Jesus. That's why people are not getting saved. People are not going to get saved unless we tell them how. It's happened to me more than once when I would make it just a purpose, not a happenstance, when I planned to go talk to someone about Jesus. It's happened more than once when they said, here's what they said. They said, I would have done this a long time ago if somebody would have just told me how. So how many people out there don't know Jesus because we haven't told them how to know Jesus, right? We've got to not only live our lives for Jesus, but we've got to tell others about Jesus that they may have the opportunity to be saved. God is watching us, isn't he? Watching and probably wondering, what in the world are those people doing down there? I've got Christians all over the planet, and yet things are declining. Why is that? Well, no matter where we are at any given moment, God will keep us. That's good news, right? He will protect us and preserve us. He'll watch over us. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, then nothing can separate you from God, right? The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Romans chapter 8 says that nothing physical or spiritual that is in all creation will ever separate you from the love of God. Right? Amen? Is there any place you can go and escape God's presence? Is there any aspect of your life that God is not able to fully protect? So where can you go to find help? Where can you look when you've got one of those days where it seems like there's one bad bit of news after another? Where Brenda Ledbetter's, the young man and her family passed away, not even 21, 22 years old, I think. The same day I learned of that, I learned about another 35-year-old man who overdosed and passed away. This was all Friday. I had taken the day off from work, and this, boom, boom, two bad things. Well, what do you do with that? You have to give it to God, and you have to get help from God. You do. You have to get help from God. What do we think we're doing as Christians when we would go throughout the day and not even give God a thought? What are we doing when we think that we can run our own lives, or we can do our own things, or we like knowing God is there in case we need him, or in case we get in trouble with something, or in case we need to call on him, but we don't give him a thought? Who do we think we are, right? We've got to have God. We've got to have him every day. And so when you need help, rest in the fact that God's able. Amen. Man, he's able. Let me tell you, he's able. He can take care of us, right? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are always there for us. You always protect us. You always preserve us. Lord, you're always on the job. We don't have to wonder about that. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us when we oftentimes go through our day and we don't think about you, when you're constantly thinking about us. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to live more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, and tell others about Jesus, because where else are they going to find help? We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.